Psalm 91, I want you to turn there with me if you will, the 91st Psalm. I hope those of you that early on received that information and that were in that service, that you have been looking to this psalm, because it is a psalm of God's refuge and protection for us, and it is a psalm that shows us how that God will provide. I'm going to share some things maybe you're aware of, maybe you haven't ever stopped to think about it, but you know how I am. I look at things in a little different way sometimes. So let's look at Psalm 91. Let's just read it together this morning. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, that lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I want to look at this psalm of refuge today, the psalm which is really a shelter to us, a psalm that we look at and know better than anyone the importance of it as we face times like this. But we know that we do have a shelter that is there for us in our time of need. But let's think for just a moment about this psalm. I want you to first think with me a little bit about who possibly could have written this psalm. You'll find when you study your Bible, there's really two common thoughts about the author that God used for this particular psalm. Now, what I'm going to say you may disagree with, but that's okay. You're entitled to your opinion. Most people automatically ascribe it as a psalm to David. But I do not believe that it is a psalm of David, and there's several reasons why that I say that. Number one is that David deals in this psalm, if he penned it, he deals with the plague that came. Well, there's one major plague that occurred in David's lifetime, and that plague came because he disobeyed God and numbered the soldiers and numbered the men. And when that plague came, God then sent the plague, allowed the plague to come as a correction to him and to show him, you don't count on your military power, you don't count on your ability, you don't count on your money, you don't count on your experience, you're to count on me. That's what God was trying to teach. And this plague came through. I do not believe that David would say that he's seen the reward of the wicked about a plague if he was the penman, because he would be rejoicing in the fact that innocent people died over his sin and his mistake. And that's not the case. It's not something that he is using to try to say, I rejoice in that. So it's doubtful that David wrote this. The other thing is because of a lot of the metaphors or idioms or phrases that's used here in this particular psalm. Really, when you look at those phrases and you think about plagues and you think about some of the things that are being recorded here about the shadow of the Almighty, the covering, about the fact that in just two verses, he uses four different names for God. Those four names were most prevalent in one writer. He set his love upon me. That phrase is popular to a writer, and that writer's writings is found in Deuteronomy. I believe that it is undoubtedly Moses that penned this particular psalm. I believe he's the penman behind it. We know from Jewish tradition. Do you know how Jewish tradition teaches how to decide an author of a psalm? Do you know what the Jews do in their study? If you come to a psalm and the author's name is not attributed to it, then what you do is you look at the psalm before it. And usually the psalm before it is the author that's attributed to the one with no name. In this case, the 90th psalm, we know who wrote that. It was Moses. In fact, it says that it was a prayer of Moses. The Jewish people believe that the 90th psalm was penned by Moses, and the 91st psalm was the answer to Moses' prayer in the 90th psalm. Not only that, but also they believe he penned it for a particular reason. He penned it because of the fact that it encounters two different experiences in his life. Number one, he talks about this covering, which he referred to and is referred to in Jewish tradition when he completed the tabernacle of God. You remember when the tabernacle was completed, man then had a way to offer up the blood for a covering. And when the blood was offered up, the tabernacle, the Jewish people believed that when the blood was placed on the mercy seat, then the breath of God entered into that. They called it a tent. And to look at it, it would almost expand like lungs. Life came into it. And the Shekinah glory of God filled that place in the holiest of holies. When the blood was offered up, then God met with mankind once again in the glory cloud. And they said on the day that it was completed, that was the day that the glory of God came down and came down upon Moses and the people so strongly. Not only that, but they also think he's reflecting to the experience of when he experienced the glory cloud when he was on Mount Sinai and God gave him the law. And during that time, God put a covering over him, a covering of his glory. From those two experiences, he starts this psalm out by telling us, I have entered into the secret place. There is a secret place of the Most High. It is found in the glory of God. Now, I can't give you the address of that place. That place is not housed in a building. I don't think that we can say that place is because you are physically located at one place. It is not a physical address. It is a spiritual address. It is a place where your spirit communes with God and God's glory in such a way that suddenly, no matter what's going on around you, you're unaware of it because you are sheltered by God and God is protecting you. So we find out that this psalm deals with that covering of the Lord. Can I say just a few things about this psalm that I want to leave you with today? First of all, you have to go through some storms and some trials in your life and some perils in your life and some pestilence and some destruction before you ever learn to appreciate the secret place. If you ever go through a time in your life where that you're challenged, like he says, we're challenged, all of these enemies that are here. Do you know the Jews believe that this is what you recite when you're in the presence of demons, that demons cannot stand the 91st Psalm because many of the things he talks about four threats that come against us and four beasts that come against us in this psalm. Those four threats and four beasts are attributed to the devil himself and the kingdom of the devil. Lord willing, on Wednesday night, I'm going to deal a little bit with his kingdom. So just get ready. I'm going to have a tough week this week. So pray for me. The devil never likes his plan exposed to people. He just can't stand that. But listen, none of this caught God off guard. And it hasn't caught me off guard, and it shouldn't catch you off guard. We know what we're fighting. When you talk about the destruction that comes, and we talk about the terror by night, and the arrow that flieth by day, and the snare of the fowler, if all of those things were seen, they wouldn't be a threat. They're a threat because they're unseen. Right now we hear so much talk about the unseen. We are in a battle with the unseen. I've got news for you. I was in a battle with the unseen before this pandemic ever came along. There is another world. There is another kingdom that fights against us, and we best understand who we're to blame for all of this. It's not God's fault. It's not people's fault. I get so weary of hearing people accuse other people and knowing about this and about that and being threatened by others. Listen, folks, these things that come, it comes from the enemy of our soul. It comes from the devil. The devil is the one behind it. And when we see that, we'll know better how to fight him. He says there's only one way to enter into that secret place. What is that way? Trust. It takes trust to enter into that secret place. How do you abide there? You have to put your trust in the Lord. I hope that in God we trust is more than a motto on your money. Because next step is money will be gone. You're welcome. I'll deal with that on Wednesday night. Not only that, but he says when you put your trust in the Lord, you've got to understand why he's doing it. It is a snare. A snare is a trap. A fowler is a trapper. But the snares of the fowler were designed for one thing. They were designed, see, the fowler can't reach the birds in flight. So what the fowler does is design a snare that will bring them down to where he can reach them. That's what the devil's trying to do, get us in his reach, get us in his realm. When he can get us close to him, then all of a sudden we start getting the things that come from him. So he sets a trap to bring us down. It is a noisome pestilence. The word pestilence means contagious, infectious, epidemic style disease. Noisome means that it's pandemic, it's everywhere. And that's exactly what is happening here. We realize the worst disease we can get from this. Please hear me and don't be angry. The worst thing you can get from this is not coronavirus. See, he said he delivers us from noisome pestilence. That doesn't mean you may not get it. But if you get it, you've got a deliverer to bring you through. But if you get it, you better realize where it came from. Because if you think that it came from man, then you'll think that man has the answer for it. But the truth of the matter is, God let us get somewhere that man doesn't have the answer for it. But hallelujah, I know who has the answer. I can't guarantee you that I won't get it, that you won't get it. But I tell you one thing, there's some things I'll guarantee you I won't get. I won't get close enough to the devil to get what he has. He sent this thing on, and I'm giving it back to him in Jesus' name. I'm saying there is power in the Lord to overcome all of this when we take our rightful stand. He shall deliver us from the noisome pestilence. And he says, from the plague. The plague will not come nigh thy dwelling. Now this is why I believe that Moses wrote this. If anybody knew about plagues, Moses knew about plagues. He had endured plagues. He had seen the effects of plagues. He had watched plagues destroy the Egyptian people. But the people of God were protected through it. Listen, church, let me preach to you today. You're all right. This can't get you if it gets you. I wish I could tell you that we're not going to die. But you better quit living like you're going to live forever. You're not going to live on this earth forever. You're not going to be here forever. And we know what this one is. We don't know what the next one will be. But regardless, whatever it is, I'm going to die someday. You're going to die someday. He is not He is not being sanctimonious here in some way to try to say, I'm more spiritual than everybody else around me. No, what he's saying is, you better gear up in the middle of the plague to say, if you've ever had a right to praise God, you ought to praise God. If you haven't got this thing right now, you're no better than anybody else. But I sure do praise God that I haven't got it. I praise God that he's laid his hand on me and protected me. I praise God that he's kept my family safe. I praise God that he's kept our people safe. I praise God that we're not having one death after another. He says, this is the time in the middle of the plague that yes, you might be shut in your house, but your house is sealed by the blood. And the Lord is passing over the land. And when you come out of that house, you better have the Lamb on the inside of you saying, I've come to praise God in the middle of all of it. Lord, we pause today to thank you and praise you for life, for health, for salvation, for deliverance. We have every right to praise God because we have a covering. The covering is the blood. I think so often about my dear friend Roger Duncan. I'd say he's one of the key preachers in my life that has influenced me in recent days. He's had a lot of physical battles in recent years. A lot of things prevent him from being able to preach like he used to preach. But I give him credit not for what he's doing, but for what he's done. I've got in my files copies of sermons that I would ask him certain things. He'd just share it with me. Here's information. But years ago, I remember Roger talking about one of his people when he was pastoring. And when he was pastoring, the individual got very sick. They started running tests, and they couldn't find out what was wrong. They ran every test that they knew to run. And they couldn't find the answer. And they kept testing and kept testing. And finally, Roger said he went in one day to visit them and said, have you found out anything? No, haven't found out a thing. He said, well, what are they doing for you? I said, well, pastor, they came in and said they just took vial after vial of blood, just one container after another, just one after another. They just keep drawing blood and drawing blood. And in a little while, said they got a faraway look on their eyes. Said, you know, preacher, I guess we'll just have to wait to see what the blood has to say. Glory to God. After this is all over, you mark it down. The blood will still say that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The blood will still say he is our healer and our deliverer. The blood will still say he is our salvation. The blood will still say he is our protector. And in that day with grand anthem, we'll gather around his throne, and in the midst will be a lamb that will stand, and we'll say, worthy is the Lamb. All power and honor and glory and dominion belongs to the Lamb. We are overcome by the blood and the word of our testimony. Worthy is the Lamb. It's the blood. In fact, he says that covering is like a mother hen or a bird that stretches her feathers over her young and over the eggs. That doesn't mean much until you stop to think about it. Do you know something today? If you have your trust in the Lord, he's got us covered. I don't know if you heard that. He's got us covered. And if he's got us covered, do you know what that's saying to the one behind all of this? The kingdom of darkness, the devil, and all the things that he brings. You know what that says? Hey, listen, this one's mine. And to get to them, you've got to go through me. And he has all power, and we can rely on him. He's taking care of us. I think of old Uncle Bud Robinson that used to say so often. He said, the Lord has me in the hollow of his hand. And every now and then he'll open up his hand and say, Uncle Bud, do you need anything today? Hallelujah. That's the relationship we ought to have with the Lord. We are sheltered in his arms, covered by his blood. The enemy cannot prevail. We are covered. I used to have a dear friend that's now in heaven, a great African-American preacher, the old black preacher, used to preach all the time, and said when he got saved, the Lord put him in his hand. And he said, I don't have to worry about the devil getting me there, because even if he could get into his hand was pierced, and the devil get blood all over him. He'd be one saved devil if he could get to me. Thank God it may not be good theology, but I know what he's meaning. There is a secret place. God says we can find a shelter in the time of storm. You have a hiding place. And the Lord says, I am with you. I am covering you. I'm watching over you. He says, we are covered. Now, the truth of the matter is, some sermons I preach, they don't hit but just a few people. Just individuals going through certain things. But thank God I've got a message today that hits every one of us. When something drives us to our knees and the devil finds the threat that works against us, and the devil comes again. This has come against all of us. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. There is not a human being in the world that's not affected by this right now. Everyone is touched by this. But in like manner, we have hope. His name is Jesus. And just as sure as everyone's touched by it, he says, I can give deliverance to everyone as well. I can give protection to everyone as well. I can shelter you. I can hold you. I can take care of you. We have a great friend. It's preached in this pulpit many times, and he shared years ago the story of when he got sick one time and he was near death. And he got so close to death. And he didn't realize it, but they'd already told his family, there's absolutely no hope of him surviving this infection that's in his body and through his bloodstream. He's not responding to antibiotics. There's nothing we can do. And he said, I was in isolation at that point. The family couldn't come in. Nobody could get in. Just medical people. And he said, in the middle of the night, he said this big, and he sang it sympathetically, large lady, a nurse, come into my room. And I hadn't seen her. And he said, I was crying, and she said, preacher, what are you crying for? Said, I told her about the isolation. I told her about the disease. And he said, the hardest part is nobody can get through those doors except you medical people. Nobody can hold me. Nobody can wrap their arms around me. And she said, I can. And he said, she took her big arms and wrapped them around me, laid my head on her shoulder, patted me on the back like I was a little toddler, and says, child, don't you worry. The Lord loves you. You're special to the Lord. God's going to take care of you. He loves you so much, loves you more than you'll ever understand. He said, miraculously, the next morning, the fever broke. Suddenly, the blood results started to go the other way. And when he got strong enough to start talking, he started asking. He wanted to find that nurse. Finally, they called in the doctor that supervised that ICU unit. And he described the nurse. And he said, sir, I'm sorry to tell you, we don't have anybody here that looks like that or that works on that floor. He said, well, she was here. And the doctor looked at him and said, I have no explanation. And he said, immediately, his mind went to this psalm, that he gives his angels charge over us. And some men have entertained angels unaware. You may be in a place that nobody else can get to you, but God's got his angels around you, and Jesus has his arms around you, and the Lord's whispering in your ear, it's all right. Don't be afraid for the arrow. Don't be afraid for the tear. Don't be afraid for the destruction. Don't be afraid of the plague. I see and I know, and I've got you covered through all of this. You have a shelter in the time of storm.